0-1 to Contreras. He pops it up. He's going to end the ball game. Into the bright sun, Vivas is back on the outfield grass. He's there to make the play. Red Sox, what a disappointing end to this homestand and series. They'd won five in a row, and then from the fight onward, the Red Sox have their doors blown off by the Washington Nationals. They head west tonight, begin a series in L.A. Friday, but this one, so typical of the way this season has gone. 10-2, Nationals win the series and the game.
This is Rich and Ken with Ted Johnson on WEEI.
And hopefully that is the last you'll hear us for the next hour talk about that game. Now that spot right there, that was brought to you by Nissan. You deserve a car that thrills you, and Nissan's got an exciting full line that'll put goosebumps on your goosebumps. Experience the thrill for yourself. Shop your local Nissan store and NissanUSA.com today. It is Rich, Ken, three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson, right here on 93.7 WEEI, and I am so sorry. I'm sorry.
For the fact
that you had to sit through that.
Who are you, Cade Cavalli?
Apparently.
Rich Jinx. Rich Jinx is alive and well.
I'm telling you, this team was on a tear until
they were back, baby.
They were back. And then Chad Tracy comes in here and gets sassy when we talk about Jarren Duran, and all of a sudden it's been downhill since then.
Duran's been fine, though.
It's been the Jarren Duran question curse. Ever since that moment, it has just been an absolute disaster. Not only is his team getting scored on like crazy, but you got players who are going to get suspended left and right. You got guys on the IL. Oh, man, it is just the 24 hours. Boy, talk about reality smacking you right in the teeth and knocking some chiclets out.
This has been a roller coaster with you, my man. This Red Sox team, I mean, they're the best thing ever. They suck. They're the best thing ever. They suck. And, you know, it's but this is the way the season's been going. I mean, they get you. They have their five-game winning streak, the best streak they've had by two games all season long against the Yankees, no less. And then they're outscored 18-2 the last two games.
They're improbable. Like, it's crazy. It's like, how do you do that against the Yankees and then just do what you did in the last 24 hours? I mean, this was like, there's an angel flying to the sun, and then someone takes an RPG and just blows it to bits. Like, this has been about as bad of a 24 hours for this team as I can remember.
1-for-17 runners in scoring position combined since we last spoke.
I mean, come on. Today was a disaster. The men in scoring position. I mean, it was awful. And by the way, the one thing at least you got is you got, somehow in the same booth, Sean McDonough,
yeah,
Will Fleming, and Cooper Boardman.
That was the only saving grace.
It was. And like, obviously, they were getting so slap happy at the end. I believe, am I high? I don't know. Did I inhale some fumes while I was walking to my car today? But I could have sworn I heard Will Fleming imitating Cornholio.
I'm Cornholio.
I did. Thank you for pulling that from Beavis and Butthead.
Will's got range now.
He does.
Dude, he's got range.
He does have range. But we have a lot to talk about. And mostly, there's two things I want to talk about today. Number one, what happened with Contreras, because there's a million things that happened
from last night's game.
We have to talk about that. And also, what's going on with the Celtics right now is very interesting. Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Because, you know what? We'll get to it. Let's do Sports Happen. Take a quick 2-minute break. We'll be right back. Let's get to Contreras. We'll get to the Celtics and everything else. 2 minutes. We'll be right back. All right. Well, we got Red Sox baseball. Let's see if they can go for 6 in a row. I don't see why not.
Here we go. Connolly early tonight.
I'm feeling good about this one.
Oh, don't say that. Last time you felt good about something, the last two times it didn't go well.
No, it did not. I'm feeling bad about this one.
Ooh, a rich curse?
Yeah.
It could be.
Too late in the show.
I'm like Danhausen.
Yep.
I now know how to curse a team, and that is to say I'm feeling good about things.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm feeling really bad about the Celtics in this offseason, okay? So let's get things going. But today's game for the Red Sox, it is, by the way, Rich, Ted, Ken, and we are on 93.7 WEI. You can give us a call at 617-779-7937. Today's Red Sox game was boring and kind of sucked, but last night's game, holy moly.
What just happened?
Sports happened.
Yes, it did. And Sports Happened is brought to you by Jeffrey Glassman Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident, you got to get Glassman. Call all sevens at 617-777-7777. It was the fight. It was the fake fight heard around the world. Let's
3-2
to
Wilson.
He takes right down the middle for a called strike three on a sweeper. Contreras is walking up the line, and now he turns, and now he says something to Sammy Cavalli.
Here we go. Look,
and now
this
the pitches
real.
Have cleared. Contreras walks out. Cavalli's barking. Sox out of their dugout on the right side. Nationals the same. And now everybody in there. Contreras gets
He's
up,
throwing
and
his
he
helmet.
Threw a helmet. He threw a helmet. Now they grab him and pull him away. He is trying to get to Cavalli on the first base side. It is taking every single man around him to keep him from doing it.
Nate
now
Eaton.
Eaton's into it with another Nationals player. Everybody just trying to slow this down. Contreras can't be stopped right now.
All right,
Pablo
we can stop
Cabrera
it there.
Gets in front of him.
Do you think Will Fleming was pissed off that Cooper Boardman got to do that call?
Probably. Oh, yeah. No doubt.
He just wanted to grab that microphone. Yep. I got this. Well, Wilson Contreras becomes the first Red Sox player in franchise history to be ejected in back-to-back games, and Chad Tracy makes up for not getting ejected the day before and finally gets the boot. Well, what started it all? Well, that is controversial because Washington pitcher Cade Cavalli is saying that in the first inning, Wilson Contreras brushed into him on his way to the dugout, which, if you watch the 14 Zapruder-esque films that came out, he absolutely did, and then turned around as if to say, sorry, something Cade disputes, even though there's video that he actually did do that. But there was absolutely no possibility Contreras did not do that on purpose.
I agree.
It seems kind of like a lame intimidation move.
There's no possibility. I mean,
no.
Contreras is not all there. I mean, we can agree with that. You cannot predict what he's going to do. You don't know what's in his head 100%
of the time. His eyes were up, and he was running right towards him on purpose.
He buzzed the tower. He knew exactly what he was doing. That's exactly what he did. He drew first blood on that.
Not without question. And then came the strikeout where Cade absolutely yelled, "Sit down, boy." So, of course, Contreras got pissed. So, bench is clear. Contreras throws his helmet, and there's a whole lot of fake fighting. Contreras is ejected. And so were Eaton and, from the Sox and Mikolas, who Rob Bradford, by the way, got my favorite quote of the day. When he talked to Mikolas afterwards, and he told Rob Bradford, quote, "When something like that happens, you get out there and you do your best to de-escalate the situation, but you still want to go out there and look tough. So you go out there and you look for somebody you know from the other team, maybe, and you pretend to grab him around or whatever. It doesn't happen often. It's not something you necessarily enjoy, but maybe you enjoy it a little bit because you don't get to get out there and roughhouse as an adult very often. The big thing is you don't want to go out there and hurt anybody. No one's punching anybody out or anything like that.
There's a fine line there. You call it brother-in-law. You want to go out there and look tough, but not really throw a punch and really you don't want to be look like a punk. But you also want to look tough. So it's a fine line. You got to try and find it. I've had to do that in games before.
You
got into a brawl with the Miami Hurricanes in college.
Ooh.
And I basically did this. I was just kind of found another linebacker.
And
I start. And then we start laughing, like Braveheart, when they're all running towards each other, and they stop and they start shaking hands. It's kind of like that. You don't want to lose your energy. But that's all that last night was a pillow fight between two teams.
It was. And I just love the fact that he straight up admitted it. Like, he gave away the codes. He gave away the secrets. But listen, I you know, to add insult to injury, minutes later, somebody posted a video of the fight on Instagram. And during the game, someone commented, quote, "Wilson Contreras is a P word, and I'm a diehard Sox fan." And underneath it, "Wilson Contreras 40, which seems like is the Wilson Contreras official account, wrote, "Come meet me at Fenway."
Hey, bro.
So,
you know.
This was the emotional leader, which we got Tracy to admit to.
Dude, it was last. You know, two nights before, I mean, everybody talks about the emotion being a great thing, right? And then when you're losing and you suck, this is where it can be, you know, where it's like, okay, bro, now you got to, like, chill out. This team needs edge. You bring some edge. But when you're losing like this and when, let's be honest, he provoked that last night. By going by the pitcher.
Well, put it this way. Like, there's no excuse for him yelling, "Sit down, boy."
No.
But Contreras, you're exactly right. He knew what he was doing.
That's all I'm saying,
when
right.
he went by him. And I know why Cavalli was pissed. But, you know, saying that was over the top. But I also think that if he hadn't have thrown his helmet and if he hadn't have put that thing on Instagram, I don't think we're talking about suspensions today.
Right.
I think that that's just...
The helmet's automatic.
The helmet's an automatic. And I just think it's you're ejected from the game. You're out of here. And most people would understand. But after you throw that helmet and then you do this thing on Instagram, mm-hmm. everyone's like, dude, sorry. This team needs him right now.
Well, you see the importance of Judge not being in the Yankees lineup, but for the Red Sox, who struggle to score two, you know, without Wilson, they are screwed. So this definitely sank them. I mean, they're done. They're done.
Well, so here's Contreras.
Are they done now? Are they done now? Officially done.
Let me see when they come
back. Are you
sure?
Okay. Right, let's see. All right.
Let's hear what Contreras had to say afterwards. He was asked about all this.
I feel like everything's against me right now. Got ejected last night from nothing. I ejected today, even though I was walking back to dugout. And yeah, that's why I'm not gonna say much because, like I said, if I say something, they're gonna use it against me.
Obviously, you know, people talking about you going back and forth with the fan on Instagram. Is it just kind of the emotions of everything?
That's not part of the game.
Listen, after when the first inning was over, you were going back to the dugout and you went across the field and kind of got near the pitcher. You think that had anything to do with it?
Not really. I apologize. Like I felt something and then I turned around. I was like, my bad, my fault. I was like, nothing. It's like, if you think that was on purpose, that's not.
Yeah.
Everything accidental. It's like, I never had a problem with them, like the Nationals. We played them forever and never had an issue with them.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, I agree with you, Ted. He absolutely meant to do that. It seems like a really lame intimidation technique, but
Cavalli should have been thrown out. I mean, can we agree on that?
Yes.
If you're going to say something racially charged and loudly and incite a fight,
then
you should have been equally... It's a fair thing to do. Was just throwing the both out.
Do you think the referees knew that the umps knew that that
was pretty loud? I mean,
I heard
and Tracy said
I guess maybe I'm ignorant. I didn't realize that that was a slur. I'm just saying. I'm not sure everybody knows that what he said. I mean, we're saying it over the radio. So,
it's him saying it like to the face of a white person saying it to a black person.
Okay,
it's a slur.
I just don't know if that's a universal understanding.
No, the word itself obviously is not a slur. But when a white person yells it at a black person in that kind of tone of voice, it's known as a slur. Okay. But outside of that. You know, Chad Tracy rightfully got himself tossed out of the game.
Finally.
I mean, he was kind of a weak effort the night before. So
he needed to make
up for the night before.
Rich got him all on edge, you know, after yesterday's interview. So
apparently I did. Well, according to Chris Cotillo of Mass Live, Major League Baseball is not only investigating the on-field stuff, you know, with Contreras, but also the social media thing they're going to put in consideration. Do we know when they're going to come down with it? It's got to be like today, wouldn't you think?
They're off tomorrow, so probably they have time now. I would say tomorrow afternoon. Yeah. You'll hear it.
I think so.
Boy, ears in the cornfield. You got to be careful, man. Guys, I don't know why you respond to that. All you do is open yourself up. Ask Jaren Duran about that. Once you kind of chirp back a little bit, now you open yourself up for more of that stuff.
On top of that, Connelly Early was sent to the IL with a left elbow inflammation. I know that after the game today, I believe Chad Tracy said some more stuff about it when he was talking about Tolley.
Just inflammation, apparently good news, still.
That's what Garrett Crochet had. It was inflammation, and that was three months
Roman
ago.
Had.
Yeah, it's true. Right, right. Yeah, you never know. It just seems everything in the last 24 hours has just been awful with this team after they were the greatest team on the planet only, you know, a couple games ago. All right, 617-779-7937. Let's get to what the Celtics did. And we'll have, top-tier Terp on with us to go over the new signings that this team has. On top of that, the latest with Jaylen Brown and Brian Windhorst has a excellent theory as to where he thinks this whole Jaylen Brown thing is going to end. And if it does, oh boy, get ready to hate Jaylen Brown. We will get to that right after this.
Rich Shurtleff, Ken Laird, Ted Johnson on WEEI.
Sources tell me the Celtics have actually started strongly shopping Jaylen Brown, soliciting offers from a market of about 8 to 10 teams in the last several days. It's unclear whether a deal is close or where they necessarily stand, but there's been a high price threshold that the Celtics have set from the outset of any type of a Jaylen Brown trade.
Oh, that is Shams Charania talking about Jaylen Brown. And as of right now, he is still a member of your Boston Celtics. It is Rich, Ken, and Ted Johnson on 93.7 WEEI. You can give us a call at 617-779-7937. The Celtics making some moves, and I got to be honest, I like what they've done so far. Mitchell Robinson and Mike Conley Jr., two things that this team has needed. Number one, the rim protector we've been talking about. The big man in the middle. You got that in Mitchell Robinson. And number two, what if, I don't think they mentioned this, but we have in this room, we've been talking about how this team needs a Jrue Holiday, an Al Horford, an adult in the room, someone who has been there,
yep.
someone who is a glue guy, a veteran that you can like can lead these guys. And apparently from everything I know about Mike Conley Jr., he is that guy on steroids. Mm-hmm. Like, he is one of the most respected players in the league when it comes to leadership. He wins all those, like best guy
Man
in the NBA
awards.
Yeah. right, right. Like, yeah. really good dude awards.
Yep. Yeah.
He's exactly what this team needs. Now, is he going to play much? Probably not. I mean, he's a decent backup to Peyton Pritchard and Derek White. Fantastic. You're probably not going to see him on the court a whole ton. But Mitchell Robinson.
Now hold it.
Mm. Yes.
I tried to look for this audio and I couldn't find it, that mm-hmm. I suggested at one point, what if they run it back and just add Mitchell Robinson? And you two shouted me down and said, no way, not good enough. That's not moving the needle. Mm-hmm. Now he signs here and all of a sudden it's a great trade.
Well, I'll let Rich answer and then I'll give you my opinion on it.
Yeah. Well, things have changed. We're not getting Giannis anymore.
Okay. But
that's fair.
But maybe the scenario that you were talking about is that we'd have to give up Jalen Brown
yes.
to get Mitchell.
No. Exactly.
Okay.
Because that's what I thought.
Mitch was a free agent. I mean, that's all we talked about was adding on the margins. Is that going to be enough? And you guys said no.
No. Ted and I think we're under the assumption you were saying without Jalen Brown, you would get him.
No.
I will say this. Are they a better team today than they were yesterday? Yes. But to me, marginally. They're just marginally better. Rim protector, okay, cool. But you need, I think, more guy with more offensive prowess that's a big than – right now, he's just, a more souped-up version of Mitchell Robinson. I love him. Than Nemus Keita. I wish there was a more, they had an offensive center that was more, offensive-minded. But, hey, Mike Conley, I like the fit, too. The guy's is a better point guard. He's a true point guard, which I don't think the Celtics have had. I wish he was just about 10 years younger, but I'm a big fan of Mike. I think they got better. I'm just not sure they got, that much better.
It is sort of a win-now move, though, the collection of moves. Punt, it's not rebuild, it's not slingshot. No. It's we're going for it this year some, we think, unless depends on what happens with Jalen.
It does. And the other thing I like about Mitchell Robinson is it weakens a competitor. I mean, Mitchell Robinson was a big part of the reason that the Knicks got to where they were.
He's hungry, man.
He is hungry. Yep. So you weaken a competitor, one of your primary rivals.
Yep.
You got a guy in here who is an offensive rebounding machine. I think this might have been Chris Forsberg, but he had a really interesting stat. Apparently, he rebounds 31.9% of his own misses and 21.1% of other teams' misses, which is in the 100th percentile in the NBA.
He plays his balls off on defense.
He does.
But, and you know what? And he's better than Nemus Keita at the pick and roll. Keita's is non-existent. Pick and roll, pick and roll, pick and roll. So screen, set screens and get pick and roll, get rebounds. It's a nice pickup, but it just, I don't think, puts them over the top.
But it's not officially a good move until Terp says it is. Justin Turpin, for a top-tier Terp from our own WEEI.com. Let's pull him up on the phone, shall we? Terp, what do you think of these moves, my man?
I love it. I absolutely love the Mitchell Robinson move. I actually just published a column on WEEI.com that there is obviously some risk in the Mitchell Robinson signing here, but it is much worth it. Obviously, like, the injuries are a question mark, right? First time since the 21-22 season that he played 60 games last year, and they very carefully managed his workload. But when he's healthy, he is a beast. Obviously, you guys were talking about the offensive rebounding, any kind of advanced metric. He would point to him being the best offensive rebounder in the league, and that is such a key part of the Celtics' identity. And also, we talked about it since Brad Stevens' end of press conference. What do they need to do? They need to put more pressure on the rim, and he does just that. His average shot distance last year was 1 foot from the rim. That was the shortest distance from anybody in the league.
Love it.
51% of his shot attempts were dunks. That's exactly what they needed. They addressed a huge need there, and he's a great screener, fits right into what they're trying to do. And defensively, he's a lot more able on the perimeter, and they needed somebody like that more so than what Garza can bring him and what Keita can bring him. So I love it. I actually think he's going to slot in and be the starter right away, just given, obviously, we've seen the Hack-a-Mitch style before and how teams try to foul him when they're in the bonus, put him on the line. That's harder to do when you're not in the bonus, so I'd start him right away. But I really do love this signing.
Are you surprised that they got him for as little as they did? I thought he would have cost the team more than that.
I was surprised they got him, period. I mean, this was number one on my free agency big board here. I remember we talked about that a couple weeks ago, but I didn't think New York was going to let him go. Obviously, that kind of changed after James Dolan went out and said that they were avoiding the second apron by all costs. But to get him at the mid-level, like, he's probably the best available free agent center this year. That's a huge pickup for them. So I was a little bit surprised that he left in general, but obviously Dolan kind of left the door open for that, and the fact that they were able to get him at the mid-level is huge.
So who's your starting five, Terp? All right, so he's starting. Who do you got in your starting five?
So assuming Jaylen Brown's on the team?
Yes, yep. Assuming he's on the team.
Okay, so we'll go. It'll be Derek White, Peyton Pritchard, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and then Mitchell Robinson.
Not bad.
That'd be my five.
Is that right there good enough?
I think it is. I mean, obviously, they still need some additions, right? Like, I don't think these moves enough is going to do it, right? Like, obviously, I think Sam Hauser, we've talked about this, will be traded in some sort of capacity this offseason. Obviously, the big domino waiting to fall is Jaylen Brown, but they're already a good team as constructed. Like, we've been beating it to death that they are the favorites to win the Eastern Conference this year as currently constructed. And I think part of that is obviously because of the past history and teams not getting back to the finals and winning the conference again the next year. Like, it hasn't happened. They haven't had a back-to-back champion since the Cavaliers did it 4 years in a row in the Eastern Conference. So maybe you're looking at the Eastern Conference and just the history and like the trends of that, but also it speaks to how open it really still is. I think all last year people were hesitant to buy in on the Knicks until they got it done in the finals because of how weak the Eastern Conference was. So I think right now it's a step in the right direction. I agree with Ted. I heard him before. Like, this is you're a better team today than you were yesterday, but I think there are still moves to be made.
Is Mike Conley the Al Horford we've been looking for, the mm-hmm. Drew Holiday, the veteran kind of adult in the room?
Off the floor, yes. I mean, I don't think he's going to play all that much. I mean, the production has steadily declined, and that's to be expected when you're entering your 20th season in the NBA. Only 14 players have reached. So you can kind of expect that, but he could still be trusted. I mean, I was looking at it earlier, some of his playoff numbers. Like, in the three games that he played over 20 minutes a game in the playoffs, they won all three. And he was huge for them in game one against the Spurs. He scored like 12 points, had a couple of assists, and helped them win that game and steal a game over the Spurs. So at the very least, you're getting a veteran presence and a guy that's just rounding out the depth of this roster, right? He's not going to play over Derek White. He's not going to play over Peyton Pritchard. But if you are in a pinch where you need to break the glass in case of emergency, you can count on him to go in there and deliver strong minutes. He's also one of the most respected voices in the league, one of the most respected veterans in the league. Obviously, you guys were talking about like the teammate awards and the sportsmanship award. Like, that's the type of character he is, and that's the type of character that Brad Stevens values. And they needed a leader in there. So I think this is a great signing, especially if you're just rounding out the end of your depth bench. Like, you're not really going to rely on him to play 60 games for you at 20 minutes a night. Like, he's going to be more of a kind of a veteran presence.
They needed that big time. They needed just a veteran that you guys respect in there. And so that's certainly what Michael Conley is. Terp, what is Mike Conley and Mitchell Robinson signal to you from an offensive standpoint? Does it tell you anything about where they might go differently or not with their offensive system? What does that tell you with these two guys from an offensive standpoint?
It tells me that they were truthful. Brad Stevens was truthful in trying to put more pressure on the rim. Again, like I said, like 51% of Mitchell Robinson's shot attempts were dunks, right? And he's generating all these shots a foot from the rim. And the Celtics were dead last in that category last year. So it signals to me that they were being truthful about their intention to go out and try to put more pressure on the rim, because he's one of the best in the league at doing that. He also is excellent in the pick and roll as the roll man. He's in like the 99th percentile. So I think they're being truthful in that. And it is interesting too, because when you're looking at your collection of centers here, Cade is not a shooter. Mitchell Robinson has never taken a three-pointer in his NBA career, and Luka Garza's in there as well. But as long as Luka Garza is just ready, because like, I would imagine the Celtics kind of handle Mitchell Robinson the way that the Knicks did last year, where he's not playing back-to-backs, you're carefully watching his minutes, just making sure he is ready to go for the postseason, because the injury history is relevant and it's real. So as long as you have a guy like Garza that can come in and plug those minutes when Mitchell Robinson's out, which he proved he can last year, you really feel pretty good about what you have with your front court now.
All right, Terp, can you hang with us for one more break?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, great. Because when we come back, there's two quick things we have to talk about. Number one, first of all, there's been a Bruins trade, which we'll mm-hmm. get to. And number two, there is a there's a lot of smoke, including Brian Windhorst, on a rumored trade with Jaylen Brown, that if this ends up going through, it's going to be really tough to be a Celtics fan and not absolutely hate Jaylen and the team that he is on. So we will get to that right after this.
Rich and Ken with Ted Johnson, Boston Sports Original, WEEI.
Mitch Robinson, I just want you to know you're dead to me. Dead to me. All the teams in the world, and you're going to sign with the Ops, you piece of the Knicks made you. They made you champions, and you're going to go sign with the Ops? You have 40 other teams to sign with, and you're going to sign with the Ops, you piece of You're not a Knicks alumni. You're dead to me, you piece of The Knicks made you NBA champions, money-hungry Louisiana having piece of And all you who are agreeing with this, oh my God, he went and got the bag. You. It's not all about the bag. You, Mitch. You're dead to me. Dead.
So the Knicks fans are taking it well.
Wow.
All right. I like the signing more.
It's all about the bag. Yeah. Knicks fans don't want you to go get yours, man. Stay and get paid, you know, pennies. But you can go, you win a championship, you bust your ass.
Didn't you take less from Bill to get the dynasty?
Oh, of course. Oh, yeah. No, I got, you know, brainwashed doing that.
I love how Knicks fans now think because Jalen Brunson took less money that everyone's going to take less money.
Right, right. Yeah. Brady screwed it up for the rest of us. You know? He took less money, so we all had to take less money.
I can't wait, though, for the first game back in Madison Square Garden. That'll be great.
Oh,
Celtics
be awesome.
At Knicks.
It'll
oh,
be great.
Baby.
It'll be fantastic. 93.7 WEI. It is Rich, Ken, and Ted Johnson. And you can give us a call at 617-779-7937. We are in the Ketchuslaw Injury Attorney Studio. No fee unless you win. We got the great Justin Turpin on with us as well. Real quick, before we talk to Turp, what is the trade that was just made with
So the Bruins made a trade. This is not insignificant because the guy makes $4.1 million a year for the next 4 years. He's a 29-year-old defenseman from the Rangers, Will Borgen. He's a right-shot defenseman. They gave up two picks for him, a second in 2027 and a conditional in 2028 that could be a second. So basically two second-rounders. So he plus Connor Clifton, two additional defensemen they added. Plus, they traded Korpisalo, their backup goalie, away. They got Michael DiPietro is going to be their backup this year, and they let Victor Arvidsson go. So that wraps up the day in Bruins.
Got a 25-goal score, you know, with J.J. Paterka, and now a defenseman.
Now two defensemen today,
Which they've needed. And that Bruins update brought to you by Milligan & Higgins, OUI and criminal defense attorneys. Go to MilliganandHiggins.com for a free consultation. And Terp, I want to get your take on this, because as of right now, Jaylen Brown is still a member of your Boston Celtics, but Brian Windhorst, someone who's been saying the Celtics are calling everybody, man. They're just calling everybody.
Who aren't they calling?
Who aren't they calling? My God. But he had this report today, and out of all of the reports that I have heard about Jaylen Brown, not only does this one make the most sense, but it also would piss off Celtics fans, I think, the most. Let it roll, Stiz.
LeBron James would be willing to play for less than his market value salary. That changed everything. So how does Cleveland get LeBron James' attention? Do they show him their beautiful brand new practice facility they're building? It is awesome. I saw it this week in Cleveland. But that is not going to impress them. What's going to impress them is what they do something with their roster. So what can the Cavs do? James Harden opted out yesterday. He, from what I understand, is willing to partner with the Cavs to figure out a way how to improve the roster. Jaylen Brown is out there. Can the Cavs make a move for Jaylen Brown, then come to LeBron and say, how do you feel about us now? That's the type of move that you're going to do to get LeBron James' attention.
42-year-old LeBron James. I'm only going to a team that sets it up so that I'm happy. I want to go somewhere where they just make trades and deals that make me happy.
Nothing says happy like Cleveland.
Can I just say one thing? I'm wrong all the time. But one thing I did say on the show
was that
I can guarantee you LeBron James is going to be willing to have a massive pay cut because he wants to win a championship to make his legacy even more solid that he's the best of all time. And what was the announcement today? What was the report? LeBron James is willing to take less money in order to win a championship.
We'll see.
But on top of that, apparently, according to Kevin O'Connor, LeBron James is recording this entire season like he's having camera, like a documentary crew behind him because he wants to do a documentary about LeBron winning another ring and doing it all over again. So you have to root for him to lose. But Terp, LeBron James, Jaylen Brown together on the Cavs, how does that make you feel?
It's easier said than done to get there. So it's going to be a lot of hoops to get there. But if they have both of them and you'll have Donovan Mitchell, like, that is a loaded team. And we were just talking about the Eastern Conference. And if LeBron's intention of making this documentary is to get back to the NBA Finals and to win another one, his best bet would be going through the Eastern Conference. I mean, looking at the West, it's much more talented. It's a lot deeper, where if you look at the Eastern Conference, he's probably got a better chance of getting back there and at least having a chance to win. So I don't know. It makes sense, I guess, because in my opinion, I think there's only really three teams he'd go to. I know he's canvassing the whole league and taking requests from everybody. Rich Paul's gathering all the information and they're trying to figure it out. But it feels like it's going to be Golden State, Miami, or Cleveland. And if Cleveland can entice him with Jaylen Brown coming off the season he just had. Now, I got to question this, though. Remember, when Jaylen Brown made the comments about Bronny at Summer League, is LeBron willing to put that behind him and be teammates with him after he said that Bronny wasn't a professional athlete, wasn't a pro basketball player?
Great point, because I'm sure that pissed him off pretty good. But there was also another little part of this story, and that was, Ken, something I had not heard.
Yeah, your man Washburn.
What did Gary Washburn have
headline
to say?
Headline, Globe, should the Celtics make a run at LeBron James? It's not as crazy as you might think.
I might be right twice, and that never, ever happens.
But they have no cap space left. So they
zero
have to,
cap space.
He doesn't need cap space. He wants a ring.
All right.
And so you would have Mitchell Robinson.
Yeah.
Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, LeBron James.
At $5 million a year.
On the same team. Right. On pennies on the dollar. You want to talk about a complete and total mind F for Celtics fans? Mm-hmm. Oh, that's fun. Now, that's worth making a documentary about. Honestly, like, he goes to – think about where he won all of his rings. Cleveland, rival of the Celtics. Mm-hmm. Miami, rival of the Celtics. The Lakers, my God, rival of the Celtics. And then you go to the team that you were a rival of the entire time and win a ring? Oh.
And manage the Red Sox while you're here. You're part owner.
My nipples are so hard I could dial a phone with them right now.
He loves Joe Mazzulla,
too. The amount of old takes, like, exposed – we'd have to rip up from LeBron James and the hatred that he got from around here. It would be a sight to see.
It would be a sight to see. But okay. So, like, what are you feeling about Jaylen Brown? Because do you think that now that this is all? Because I guess there was also a report that Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown were in the same place when the Giannis trade was made. They were both in Cannes together. Yet neither one mentioned it at the time. I don't even know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I don't know how to interpret that. Like, there's no pictures of them together, even though they're both, like, you know, in Cannes in France, right? They're both in France at the same time. Do you think that they can make this work? That now that you have Mitchell Robinson and you seem to have a guy who's a great glue guy and Mike Conley Jr., that they can all kind of patch this up and everything's good to go and they can try to make another run?
I keep going back to that Shams report that was like, they might have to take 40 cents on the dollar for Jaylen Brown. And I just don't think that's something that Brad Stevens would do. They believe in him far too much. They value him far too high, where at peak value coming off the season that he just had, I don't think they'd be willing to do that. And if that's the case, where you can't find a trade partner that makes the most sense, that maximizes the asset and makes you better in both the short and the long term, I would just run it back. Like, that's what I'm starting to lean towards. Like, I would sit everyone down. You already used the mid-level money, so you can't hire a therapist with that. But go find a therapist, sit everyone down, and make this thing work. It's one thing if it's Giannis, right? If you're adding in the short term, obviously Giannis, the expectation right away would be get back to the finals and win it. Like, Giannis could be 32, get there and get this thing done. Now, if you're trading Jaylen Brown for picks and all that, unless there was a mandate to move off the contract from ownership and they decided that it was too expensive to build around these two supermax players in the apron era, especially when they play the same position, that's different. But if you're just shopping them right now because you don't think you can restore the relationship, that seems crazy to me.
Yep.
I wouldn't do it just to do it. I would run it back with what you have. You know it works. What would have changed in the last, especially like coming off the year they had, right? And I understand a 3-1 series lead, blowing that against a team that you quite frankly should have. Honestly, I picked the sweep. What a loser I look like looking back at that. So that, like, against that team, it's just, I don't know.
Don't worry about that take. Not everyone can be right all the time like I am, especially my LeBron James take. Yeah, maybe they'll run it back. Run it back with the king in green. Now we're talking. All right, well, Terp, thank you so much, by the way. Justin Turpin brought to you by Cars for Kids, the easiest way to get rid of your old car. Donate today, and your car can be picked up tomorrow. Donate now at carsforkids.com. That's cars with a K. Thank you so much, Terp, for coming on with us. We appreciate it, buddy.
Anytime, guys.
All right, and we shall find out next time we talk to you tomorrow whether or not Jaylen Brown is still a member of the Celtics. My nipples are so hard I could dial a phone with them right now. It's true. I'm very, very excited. Well, that was a fun 45 minutes.
It was a good time.
Wow.
It was a good one. Quick one.
Fast and furious.
Shoots again tomorrow.
And how about
the Belize Senegal. Or Belgium, excuse me, Belgium. They were down 2-0. Now all of a sudden 2-2.
2-0, Ted. 2-0.
2-0, my bad.
There was 5 minutes left in like the which means they're one step closer to the greatest moment in sports, I have decided.
Well, they gotta go extra 30 minutes.
Yeah, 30. World Cup shootouts. And the winner of this takes on Team USA, right?
If they win tonight.
All right.
Bosnia tonight,
go,
baby.
USA.
USA. Arcan will be giving live updates during the match, right?
Bet your ass.
Christian Arcan, thumbs up, thumbs down. How you feeling about the Mitchell Robinson deal?
Oh, boy.
Kind of, not really.
Thumb up to something.
All right. We will see all of you again tomorrow. Thank you so much for listening to us. I'm sorry about having to hear the Red Sox. We will talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.